Welcome to the Pneuma Church Podcast. Wherever you are in the world, we are so glad you've joined us. Our prayer is that this message will reveal more of who our Heavenly Father is as we grow deeper in intimacy with Jesus. Enjoy the message.
So the title today is The Costly Receipt. The Costly Receipt. That's our title. If you think about a receipt, receipt is the action of receiving something. Receipt is the action of receiving something, but it's actually also the fact that it's being received. A receipt is about what you've received, but it's also about actually receiving. So I want to talk about a thought that I've had this week, and I've called it the costly receipt. So let's go to Luke 18. This is a story about the rich young ruler. The rich ruler in Luke 18. Open your Bibles with me. It says, "And a ruler asked him, 'Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?'" What must I do to inherit eternal life? "And Jesus said to him, 'Why do you call me good? No one is good except God alone. You know the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Do not murder. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Honor your father and mother.' And he said, 'All these I have kept from my youth.' When Jesus heard this, he said to him, 'One thing you still lack. One thing you still lack. Sell all that you have and distribute to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. And come, follow me.' But when he heard these things, he became very sad, for he was extremely rich. Jesus, seeing that he had become sad, Jesus said to him, 'How difficult it is for those who have wealth to enter the kingdom of God.'" Next verse. "For it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich person to enter the kingdom of God. Those who heard it said, 'Then who can be saved?' But he said, 'What is impossible with man is possible with God.' And Peter said, 'See, we've left our homes and followed you.' And then Jesus says to them, 'Truly I say to you, there is no one who has left house or wife or brothers or parents or children for the sake of the kingdom of God, who will not receive many times more in this time and in the age to come eternal life.'" The costly receipt. Just think about a receipt. Can we just close our eyes for a moment? Just imagine with me. Think about this receipt being about eternal life. If I can see your eyes not closed, that means mine are not closed. That means yours are not closed. Just close your eyes and imagine. I'm mine now closed. Imagine this receipt. This receipt is about eternal life. This receipt is about what Jesus has given us now, what he offers now, but what eternal life is. What would be on that receipt? What is it that Jesus has given you? What is it that Jesus is giving you? Eternal life, the costly receipt. What's on it? Is there some joy on that receipt? Is there healing on that receipt? Is there deliverance on that receipt? Is there purpose on that receipt? What's on that receipt? The Holy Spirit, the gift of salvation, spiritual gifts. When you look down the bottom of that receipt, balance due, nothing. There's no balance due. What's on that receipt? Freedom. His presence. You can't even fit it all on one receipt because there is so much. You can open your eyes. Faith, wisdom. But when you think about the balance, we know that he's paid it all. So this costly receipt, think about it, eternal life. This rich young ruler, you can open your eyes. This young ruler Others have fallen asleep. They're just hanging out with Jesus. This young ruler is hearing Jesus teach. And he's like, man, I want in. I want in on this eternal life. What do I need to do to get me some of that? This guy could buy whatever he wanted. This guy looked so blessed. Everyone respected him. He hears this teacher who he actually doesn't realize this is the Son of God. He hears him talking about eternal life. And he says in verse 18, good teacher, how can I have eternal life? He doesn't even say, how can I? He goes, what do I need to do? I got me the money, but it looks like that might not be all I need to do. What do I actually need to do? What does he need to do to get this eternal life? The first thing I want to share with you today is that only Jesus can. Only Jesus can. Why do you call me good? Did Jesus ask him, why do you call me good? No one is good. But I thought Jesus was good. But Jesus is responding in the way that this guy is talking. This guy is just talking to Jesus about what do we need to do to make it happen. So Jesus is like, actually, no one is good except God. He's the only good one. But the rich young ruler does not actually know he's talking to God himself in the flesh. But Jesus goes, you know what, dude? I'm going to speak to you where you're at. So you want to know what you're supposed to do? So he says, have you heard of the commandments? He's like, yeah. Jesus says, all right. Do not steal. Do not murder. Do not bear false witness. What else does he say? Honor your mother and father. What's the other one I've forgotten? Do not commit adultery. He gives them those five. Those five things that Jesus mentions to them, they're all to do with how we relate to people. Those commands, they're all about how you relate with other people. The rich young ruler is like, I've got that covered. I've done that since I was young. Really? You haven't lied before? You haven't stolen some sugar? Sometimes I see my kids out of nowhere, they've taken some lollies they weren't supposed to take. This rich young ruler hadn't stolen anything. He hadn't lied. That's what he was saying. He hadn't committed adultery. But the Bible tells us that if you just as much as look at a woman with lustful eyes, you've committed adultery. He's like, nah, I've got it covered. I'm like, bro, good for you. But Jesus just is like, cool. Because this guy is obviously not reflective enough about that. Or they used to actually just not look at those commandments deeper. It was just like a superficial thing. But Jesus doesn't dwell on that. He goes, well, there's one thing. There's one thing that you haven't done. You still lack this. Sell everything you have and distribute it and come and follow me. This guy went from being like, I've got it sorted, I've got all the commandments sorted, to being extremely sad. But you know, when we hear of the Ten Commandments, when we hear of the law, God actually gave us the law to lead us to realizing that we need Jesus, to lead us to realizing that we need God. Only Jesus can. He didn't give people the law so that they can go tick, 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 because you will mess up at some point. In James, it talks about you might think you've achieved one of the commandments, but if you mess up one of them, you've messed up all of them. So only Jesus can actually make a way. And what Jesus is trying to get across to this rich ruler is that the first commandment that says, you shall have no other gods before me. You shall have no idols. That's where he was getting it wrong. That there was things that were taking God's place in his life. And because this guy was loaded, he was wealthy, he was rich, it was easy for him to be at a place that he thought he needed nothing else. Where he wouldn't have even think, I'd need God, I need to trust God. But as he's hearing about eternal life, he's like, I want some of this. So the law was given to us to actually lead us to a place where we realize that We all fall short. We all sin. The Bible says all have fallen short. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And it says the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. So only Jesus can. So there's things that keep you and I from trusting God, from depending on God. We can think, I'm trusting God, I'm depending on Him. But if I asked you right now, what are you actually trusting God for? What would you say? What am I depending on God for? What would you say? Sometimes there's things that take God's place in our lives that we actually don't trust Him. We actually don't depend on Him as much as He wants us to. He wants us to depend on Him for absolutely everything. We become self-sufficient sometimes, but that actually leads to a deficiency in our hearts, in what the Lord wants to do in and through us. Self-sufficiency can lead to self-deficiency, where we actually think we are enough, we have everything, but we're not, because we're never going to be enough. Never. The only way you can be enough is if you have God in you. He's more than enough. When you're just wanting Him, when you're desperate for Him. It's not just money that can get in the way. It could even be knowledge, intelligence. Like, I'm so smart, I've got this covered, I know this, I know that, I've learned that, I'm wise. It can be our moral achievements. Oh, I'm so good, I do this, I do that, I've got that covered. I wake up early and spend time with the Lord. I go to church every Sunday. I look after my kids like no one else can look after kids. There's things that can come in where we just depend on ourselves, self-sufficiency. So Jesus is talking to this guy. What can I do to have eternal life? What do I need to do? And then this guy realizes, man, I don't want to sell everything, as if I want to sell everything. But you want eternal life. Oh, I just can't. He's so sad. And then Jesus looks at him and says, man, how hard it is for someone with wealth to enter the kingdom of God. He says, it's like a camel trying to go through the eye of a needle. Imagine that. A camel getting through the eye of a needle. Have you seen a needle for sewing? It's impossible. It's humorous, like as if. But Jesus is trying to show them that it is impossible for anyone to actually get saved. No one can save themselves. He says, no one. Only Jesus can do it. What is impossible with man, he says, is possible with God. And Jesus made a way. He made a way. He paid a massive cost. What's the cost that Jesus paid? His death. You know, we can easily take that for granted. But Jesus paid a massive cost. He died. He went through suffering. He went through pain. He took my shame. He took your shame. He took your place. He took your punishment. He took my punishment. A massive cost that Jesus took. Only He could do that. He was perfect. He was without sin. But He humbled Himself. He paid for it all. We all know John 3:16. For God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that whomever would believe in Him would not perish, but would have eternal life. He says, only Jesus can. This guy wants to buy it, but you can't buy it. We try sometimes to earn our salvation or make God smile, make God proud by what we do. Like, it honors Him. But that's not the main thing He's looking for. The first thing He wants is our yes to Him, to give our lives to Him. People that don't even know about God, that don't know Jesus, try to buy salvation. They don't know what they're looking for is salvation. They're looking for joy. They're looking for fulfillment in so many different things, but you cannot buy it. You cannot buy freedom, true freedom. You cannot buy true destiny, God's direction, God's purpose for your life. You cannot. Only Jesus can do that. So you see this thing about only Jesus can, this thing about eternal life. It's on offer for everyone out there. Imagine you go into a shop, you're looking for a jumper or you're looking for shoes or whatever you're looking for, and it's like, oh, out of stock, or something's there, not for sale. You see a beautiful house. You're like, man, I wonder if that house is on sale. I would love that house. And you knock on the door like, nah, not for sale. Just think of that statement, not for sale. Not for sale. Salvation is not for sale, but yet you can have it. It's not for sale, but yet you can have it. Because Jesus paid the price. It is a gift. How is it that Jesus paid for it all? He's paid for it all, right? But there's still a cost to follow him. So we know he's paid for it. But how is it that Jesus has already paid for it, but then the word talks about that there's still a cost? Is that confusion or what? It's a gift, but then for me to follow him, there's a cost to pay? Let's go to Luke 9, 23 to 25. You guys doing good? The costly receipt. Luke 9, 23 to 25 says, "And he said to all, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me." See, Jesus said this before he had died, before he had given his life, before he had resurrected. But it still applies once you're in relationship with Jesus, because we're following him. That's what we do. It says, if you want to follow me, deny yourself. For whoever would save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake will save it. For what does it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses or forfeits himself? How is it that Jesus has paid for it all, but there's still a cost to follow him? How is it that he is the ultimate sacrifice? Jesus, he says, once and for all, the price has been paid. But how is it that he's the ultimate sacrifice? Yet Romans 1, verse 1, chapter 12, Romans 12, 1 says, therefore, I appeal to you, brothers and sisters, by the mercies of God, because of what Jesus has done, I appeal to you, therefore, present your bodies as a living sacrifice to God, holy, pleasing, and acceptable. It says, for this is your spiritual act of worship. How is it that he is the ultimate sacrifice, but then we still need to be a living sacrifice? Isn't a sacrifice something that's just dead on an altar, but you're like living? How does that work? It boggles my mind. I don't know about you. How is it that he died for us, yet we're to die to ourselves daily? He died for us, but then we've got to die daily. It says, deny yourself. It says, earlier we said, take up your cross. There's a cross over there. It reminds you of the cross that Jesus paid the price on. But we've got to take up our cross daily. What does that even mean? What does that mean to you, to take up your cross? It's like what he gave, what he died for. We need to accept that. But to actually accept that and take the fullness of it, we need to lay everything else down so we can do what he did, die to ourselves and take up our cross. That's sacrifice. What are the things you need to say no to daily so there is room in your life to say yes to what he has for you? Take up your cross. There is a daily cost. It's so easy to get comfortable. Get comfortable in the price that he paid. His job is done. But then he wants to work through you and I daily. So we're to take up our cross daily. There's a daily cost to actually following him. If only Jesus can make this happen as an eternal life, and no one is good but Jesus, what do we have to do? What's our part to play? This is a level field, level ground for everyone. We all have a part to play in taking up our cross. Doesn't matter how long you've been a Christian for, there's a daily cost to following Jesus. I believe that this is what we're to do. We're just to say yes to the giver and no to everything else. Say yes to the giver and no to everything else. We're to leave everything else behind. That's what Jesus was asking this man to do. Sell all your possessions. Come follow me. Just say yes to him. It's not just a one time. You say yes to him whenever you got saved. But you got to say yes to him every day. There's so many distractions in our world today. No matter where you live, there's distractions. The enemy is roaring. He is just looking for someone to devour. Ourselves, we have sin in our lives because of flesh. So there's always going to be challenges. So you actually just got to keep saying yes to him and no to everything else. It doesn't mean that everything else is always bad. But when you start with a yes to him, everything else flows out of your yes to him. So just say yes to him and no to everything else. This doesn't mean Jesus is going to say all of you need to sell your possessions and distribute to the poor. The salvos would love that. If you feel led that way, go for it. But if the Lord actually asked you to sell everything, would you? That's good. I would struggle. Just being honest. Is that you, Lord? Honey, did you hear God? Nah, it must be the enemy. As in, we start to question, right? Not just to do with selling things. All I'm saying is we don't all have to sell our possessions, but it's whatever God asks you to do, will you say yes and leave everything else behind? What we have to do is actually search our hearts and ask, what do I love more than God? What do I love more than God? Is there something in my life that I love more than God? Things that I'm prioritizing more than God? Is it a relationship? Is it a partner? Is it a whatever relationship? Is it family? I know people that have had to say no to their families so they can say yes to Jesus. Their families have put them in a place where, oh, if you're going to become a Christian, see you later. That's extreme, isn't it? But that's what the Lord calls us to. I know people that were of the Islamic faith. They said yes to Jesus and they got disowned by their families. One guy I know had to sleep in his car for days, lost all the family business, lost all the family inheritance. But I tell you, you look at him today, the Lord has blessed him so much more. It doesn't mean we all have to abandon our families, but I'm saying that's some of the price you might have to pay when the Lord's speaking to you. For me, if I'm honest, I've got a strained relationship with my one of my family members, because the time came where I needed to stand up for what was true and what God was telling me to do. And I did it in love, but that wasn't reciprocated. But I had to just say yes to him. I had to go against culture, my African culture, my family culture, and do what the Lord was asking. And I did that with wise counsel. I just wasn't just silly. But there's always a cost to pay when you're following Jesus. Otherwise, the Lord can't do what He wants to do through you. What do you love more than God? Like, what I'm talking about doesn't mean you don't love your family, but it's about who do you love more. It doesn't mean you don't love them, you're keeping stuff away from them, but God, His place in your life, in my life, is number one. Things will just not flow the way He created you for them to flow if He's not number one. You'll be frustrated. It leads to destruction. It leads to disappointment. It leads to delay. It's not that you're not going to have delays and disappointment in your life, even when you're walking with God. But when you know He's number one in your life and you're going through the destruction or the delays, you're like, man, this God has led me here. So you're not going to question it. So just say yes to the giver and no to everything else. What is it that comes that's taking God's place? Is it leisure? What you do with your time? There's so many other things we choose to do with our time. And we can just, God's like, just something we do on Sunday or life group or here, there, when we need something. But the Lord, He wants you to just be consumed by His heart. Doesn't mean you don't enjoy life. Doesn't mean you don't have leisure in your life. But it means you're walking in step with the Holy Spirit. You're depending on Him. You're asking Him, Lord, what is it time for now? What do you have for me today? He'll put thoughts in your mind. Write it down. Maybe you've got things you're already doing. Are you flexible in your day that if He whispers, go this way, go that way, do this, talk to that person. Get off your desk and go talk to that person. Will you do it? What do you love more than God? Is it money? Is money in your hand a tool? Or is money in your hand a master? Is it mastering you? Because it's supposed to be an excellent tool, but it's a terrible master. What do you love more than you love the Lord? There is a cost to following Him. We're to leave it all behind. You know that song, I've Decided? I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning back. Talks about the cross. It goes, the cross before me, the world behind me. The cross before me, the world behind me. The cross before me, the world behind me. No turning back. Oh, praise the Lord. No turning back. That's a bit of Zimbabwean twist there. Come on, my brother Tawanda. Amen. So we just got to say yes to Him and no to everything else. It sounds so hard, doesn't it? You're like, Steve, you don't know my situations. But Jesus said it to that guy, to the rich young ruler. He said, what is impossible with man is possible with God. When we say yes to Him, and He lives in us, and we remain in Him, and He remains in us, He actually will give you the desires to do the right thing, the God thing. He gives you the strength to do what He wants you to do. We become His hands and His feet. Leave it all behind. But what I love as Jesus continues His conversation with the rich young ruler, people are listening. The disciples are listening. People are listening. They're like, so if this rich guy can't even be saved, Who can be saved? And Jesus says, well, you've got to leave everything and you've got to follow me. Leave everything and follow me. And Peter, I don't know if you guys have watched The Chosen, but every time I now see Peter in the Bible, I just see that buff dude from The Chosen. Guy, he's full of pride, man. I love him. So I just picture Peter saying, oh, Jesus, we've done that. We've left our wives. We've left everything. We've come with you. And it's the truth. Like, he's getting the revelation. This is what we've done. We've left our fishing nets. We've left everything. And Jesus is like, yep. He goes, truly, truly, I tell you, whoever leaves their wives, whoever's left their mothers, whoever's left their house, he said, they will receive many times more in this age and in the age to come, eternal life. He's saying whatever you have to say no to for him, he actually has so much better, so much more. It's not about material things. Doesn't mean you're not going to get material things. God blesses us. God uses all that. But you can't say no to something because you're like, oh man, if I say no to that car, I'm going to get a better car. That's not the spirit of it. Just whatever God asks you to do, it always takes a no to other things. So as you say yes, just know that it actually says in this age, manifold, many times. What does that mean? It means that God never asks us to lose something if he doesn't know there's more or better on the other side of your yes to him. There is way more for your no. Way more. There is way more for your no. This is my last point this morning. There is way more for your no. Verse 30, I'll read it again. It says, anyone who's left their house or wife or brothers or parents or children for the sake of the kingdom of God, they will receive many more times, many times more in this time and in the age to come, eternal life. I'm not saying leave your wives, leave your... I'm not saying that. Just hear what the spirit of what that is saying. Whatever the Lord's asking you to sacrifice, it's actually because he has so much better for you. What are you holding on to? And some of these things are things God has actually given you, but they've taken too much of a hold now. But he actually has other things that as you let go and there's suffering in that, it's like, Lord, I'm stripped to nothing. Now there's room for him to give you whatever it is. Could be a new mindset. It could be a new revelation. I don't know. Lord, speak to them because I don't know what those things are. There is way more for your no. I remember a few years back, God called me to give up a dream. Because I grew up in Zimbabwe and it was all about education, all about doing well as I would grow older. I wanted to get into business. I wanted to get into accounting. I wanted to make some money, all for good reasons. I wanted to bless the kingdom. So much so, I was so focused on becoming an accountant that I structured my subjects all through school so I could get there. I even moved schools so I could do certain subjects. Then I moved to Australia so that I could study a Bachelor of Commerce in Accounting and Business Information Systems. So one day I'd get a job and become a chartered accountant. Through all that, I was walking with the Lord. Through that, I was saved. And I was like, Lord, I want to be in business. I want to bridge the gap between business and the church. I don't want to be those Christians that just work in church all the time with Christians. I want to be out there spreading the light, the love. But I was frustrated in that. And the Lord was preparing me and calling me to full-time local church ministry. But Lord, I'm like, God, I've got financial obligations. I want to be a CFO one day. I want to be a CEO one day. I want to run businesses. I want to buy this. I want to buy that. But he had a different dream for me. And it took, he was so patient. He was so patient. And we gave him our yes. And we've never gone without. The reasons why we'd go, I don't want to do that. The reasons I had why I didn't want to do that. God's never forsaken us. There's been miracles. There's been provision. But he keeps us in a place where we don't get too excited and forget what he's doing. He keeps us humble for us because he knows our hearts. He knows where we could end up. But he led me to give up my dream so I could take up his dream. His dream for me, his dream for us as a couple. Sometimes it's not easy. Sometimes we want to run. But just say yes and no to everything else. Only Jesus can. It's not by might, it's not by power, but it's by my spirit, says the Lord. There is way more for you know.
Thank you for joining us. We hope that you enjoyed today's podcast. And we realize that not everyone has had the opportunity to respond to the good news of the gospel. And for this reason, in all of our services and platforms, we want to extend to you the opportunity to follow Jesus. The Bible teaches us that we have been created for a relationship with God. However, sin, which is essentially disobedience, independence, and disbelief, or us simply missing the mark, entered the world and separated us from God. Romans chapter 6 verse 23 says that the wages of sin is death. And a debt was owed, and the Bible tells us that he, Jesus, demonstrated his love for us, that while we were still sinners, he died for us. Jesus paid the penalty for our sin. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life." God so loved the world that he gave us Jesus, that whoever believes in him will be saved. All that is required of anyone is that they believe in Jesus, the Son of God, who came, lived, died, and rose again so that we could be forgiven, made right, and given the right to become children of God and to have life forevermore with him. Today, you can begin a relationship with Jesus. To believe in him is to simply to respond with faith in our hearts and confess with our mouths that he is Lord. And we do that through a simple prayer. Follow along with me. Dear Jesus, I believe that you are the Son of God. I thank you that you love me and came to forgive me of my sin. I repent from my old way of life and I turn to follow you. I receive the free gift of eternal life and I ask that you fill me with the Holy Spirit so that I can live a life of following after you. I thank you that I am born again as a child of God and that I am a new creation in Christ Jesus. Amen. If you prayed this prayer for the first time, we would love to connect with you and connect you to your next step and the local church in your area. You can contact us on our website at newmar.church. Thanks for listening.